What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts and listeners on the Astonishing Dead Letter Office are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Astonishing Legends Productions, the Astonishing Legends Network, or any affiliated entities or guests.
When something unexplainable happens to you, it can make you feel isolated or alone. But trust us, you're not. For over a decade, you've been sending your strange stories to Astonishing Legends. And now it's time for our fellow legenders to hear them too. Join us weekly in Blanket Fortiana as we dig through your intriguing messages to the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
Tonight's episode, Mom is Still Here.
Over the years, we've heard from a lot of self-described skeptics, and that's one of the things we're particularly grateful for, both with Astonishing Legends and the Dead Letter Office. We want to have an open discussion about these things and what might be happening to us when we experience them.
Indeed we do, but I have to admit and be honest here, in that I do get a little bit of a thrill or a smile, let's say, even
yes.
Internally, when somebody who is just so adamant and self-assured and confident that something could not possibly happen, it's impossible. We all know, us rational, logical folks, that's not possible. It was something else.
Yeah.
And then something happens to them. Because again, not that there's any joy in somebody getting their world rocked or being embarrassed about it, but I like when minds are open a little. And it's just the possibility. I don't need it to be proven. I don't need it to prove it to them. Maybe we started off the podcasting like, we're going to try and prove something is possible. And then over the years, it's like, no, I just want you to consider it. I feel like those things should be considered because that, for me anyway, makes the world a lot more colorful and full of mystery and wonder and beauty. But also an admission, and nobody's going to believe me, I realize that, we are somewhat skeptical when things happen to us and the things we talk about because,
yeah,
especially in the last couple of years, a lot of strange things, small things for me anyway, minor things that happened that I witnessed and as well as my mom and dad when I was with them that are small and let's say mundane but had no mundane explanation, an
right.
easy one and
right,
it was
right.
in context, so it's like
that kind of stuff always makes you wonder.
Yeah, and so that's I like the wonder part of it.
Yeah, and what's so interesting about folks who are skeptical of the paranormal in particular is that when we do get a story from someone still living in that headspace, they're not writing in to tell us they've changed their mind.
No, yeah.
They're writing in to ask us about this one thing they can't explain.
Right.
They can't get to the bottom
well,
of it.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think people, it's that old saying, for the unbeliever, the non-believer, there are no answers. to anything.
Right.
And for the believer, there are no questions. Now, that's not to say you believe or accept anything, but I think believers, you're willing to accept the possibilities, and your range of possibilities is wider than the other people. And I think people who are also the superficial skeptical side, just everything is impossible, right? Only what happens that is rational and logical happens in this world.
Right.
And that's it. And you ignore everything else. And then you set yourself up for getting blindsided sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they do recognize that they can't explain what they experienced, but they do want to talk about it and want to talk about it to others. And I love that. And I fully welcome that. So yeah, you try and ask anyone else if they've experienced something like that, what could have possibly gone on, which is a good thing too, because somebody may have said, oh yeah, you know what, with that model, it's been known that that thing does turn on by itself. It's just a flaw. And so you have to suss out a mundane explanation if there is one.
Well, that brings us to tonight's dead letter from Andrew. It takes us to Monterey Park, California. This is a small city in the western San Gabriel Valley, about 7 miles east of downtown Los Angeles. If your only frame of reference for LA is freeways in Hollywood, the San Gabriel Valley might surprise you. It's quieter, it's hillier and layered. Monterey Park itself is just under 8 square miles, and it's got an unusual reputation. Back in 1990, it became the first majority Asian American city in the continental U.S.
That's right, and it's ground zero for some of the best Chinese food in the country, I say.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's no, it's
no. I know, I know. You're not.
It's
I
got
remember.
A lot of history, but it's like if you do some research, it's like where can I find the best so and so, you know, dim sum, whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's going to be usually in Monterey Park. So anyway, there's a lot of layers. Also interesting, the cultural layers from the indigenous folks that first migrated into the area to the other traditions and cultures that came after it.
Yeah. In fact, there was an ancient culture there called the Tongva, T-O-N-G-V-A, which they lived in that area. But when the Spanish missionaries arrived, they renamed it Gabrielino after Mission San Gabriel. But the Tongva were there for somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 years before the Europeans arrived. Their villages were spread out all through the valley there. And the road that runs through the middle of the city today, which is now called Garvey Avenue, used to be called Coyote Pass.
Do you know the history? I've been on Garvey Avenue a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Over the years. But do you know who Garvey was? I'm sure there's a
I have no story. Idea. And I didn't research it.
That's all right. It's
to
not,
me, it sounds a little
cares.
Bit like a... Yeah, it sounds like a made-up name, like when you're on a soap opera and you have the Garvey file. Yes, I'm bringing it right now.
Oh,
Garvey
I see
and Jenkins. I'm not sure who Garvey was. Maybe we'll get an angry email from Garvey's descendants.
Well, it's probably somebody, having to do with 19th century development there, I'm sure. But, but yeah, Coyote Pass sounds a lot cooler. And then maybe more relevant because one of what might be going on spiritually from an ancestral cultural perspective or just the fact that Los Angeles Basin is rampant now, overflowing with coyotes. In fact, I talk a lot about that in the Los Feliz neighborhood.
You saw them all the time. And I saw them in Valley Village too, which is a good ways from where you are. So it's like,
You know, look, that was their territory and they thrive because of some of the human interaction here. And, you know, they're generally left alone, but now, of course, they're getting more aggressive. And so, and I like this story just because of a little bit of ridiculousness, but you have people feeding them, and even when biologists in the area and the city says, you know, don't do that. They don't need it. And then some woman on some post, it probably is next door, she was proud of the fact that she was leaving out pans of lasagna for them. And it's like, okay, one, you shouldn't be feeding them. Two, I'm not sure that's good for them. You know, like just, that's not what they'd find in the wild naturally.
Anyway, that's a little background on the San Gabriel Valley. Like everywhere, cool place, lots of history. So tonight's story takes place during the early pandemic in 2021. As we're sure most of you remember, the whole world was in a strange place during that time. A lot of us, including me and my family, lost loved ones in the year or two leading up to that. Everyone was at home. There was nowhere else to be. And our listener, Andrew, was in pretty much similar situation. He was alone in a quiet house in a quiet city on a night where everything was about to change, at least a little bit, for him. Forrest, I think it's your turn to read, sir.
In the early part of 2021, during the height of the pandemic, I was working from home in Monterey Park, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. The property I live at has two houses, and I rent out the back house for my parents, who live in the front house. which is what my living situation still is today. I live by myself, and I had recently gotten the bathroom renovated, including a brand new shower with a rain shower head. So one afternoon while I was working in my home office, my mom came over to try it out. When she was done, she was yelling at me from the bathroom to grab her a new towel, and then yelling at me again, asking about the motion sensor lights I had just installed. The motion sensor was a little too sensitive for my taste, so I actually had it disabled, installing a regular switch instead. At this point, I also wasn't having the greatest day because of stuff that was happening with work and clients, so I might have responded a little bit on the snappy side. I erupted out of my office in a huff and flipped the light on maybe a little too forcefully. Like any mother who is completely unbothered by her son's BS, she chided me and teased me about having a short temper until I laughed, wearily explaining to her about my difficult clients, the light switch, and how I had disabled the sensor. She laughed and shooed me away, telling me not to worry about her and to get back to work. That was the last time my mom was in my house, as she got sick and passed shortly afterwards from heart disease. The night when my mom died was the worst night of my life. We had set up hospice care for her at my parents' house, so after the nurses left, I had made sure my dad was okay before heading back to my place to be alone. I was sitting in my office, sobbing my eyes out and feeling the absolute lowest I have ever felt. I had a framed photo of my mom and I at Disneyland when I was a kid on my bookshelf, and I was looking at it, remembering that trip and other good times with my mom. As I stared at the picture and reminisced, I watched as it tipped over all by itself, landing face down on the shelf. It was still cold out, so my windows were closed, so there was definitely no breeze, and even if there was one, the picture was in a sturdy plastic frame, so it would have taken a pretty strong breeze to knock it over. I thought I had imagined it, but no, the photo was right there, face down on the shelf. Confused, I looked around, and as I turned my gaze into the hallway where the bathroom is, the bathroom light turned on its own. Remember, there was no motion sensor on it anymore, so how could that have happened? I'm a skeptic and don't really believe in ghosts or poltergeists or anything like that, but it's just too much of a coincidence that something like that would happen when the pain of losing my mom was freshest. I'd been living in that house for over 10 years at that point and had not experienced anything even remotely paranormal. Why then? Why that photo? And why that light? Both have meaning. The photo was a cherished memory from when I was a kid, and the light was one of the last interactions I had with my mom in my house before she passed. In the months and years since, I've had a couple more experiences with things I can't explain in my house, which I'm happy to share another time. A few months after my mom passed, I adopted a cat, a fat brown tabby named Rex, who is my world. Occasionally, I'll see him sit outside my bathroom and stare intently inside, seemingly at nothing. But you know what would happen while he's doing that? The light would come on its own. Again, I'm a skeptic most of the time about these kinds of things, but I like to think that my mom is still here with me in some way or another. It's comforting thinking that she might still be there telling Rex to look after me.
Something strange is going on in Blanket Fortiana tonight. We'll return in moments.
Hey, you must have heard by now all the buzz about those weight loss injection medication kind of things.
Yeah, I have. I have a sneaking suspicion that several people I know are using them, but it's not something that anybody's copping to, apparently.
No, and you don't really want to ask, do you?
No, it's like, how do you broach that subject? You look right. Amazing because yeah. You really haven't the past couple of years. But, you know, it seems like it's working for a lot of people, so I'm happy for them.
Well, that's great. You know, and yes, everybody's talking about those weight loss injections because, you know, those results are really super dramatic. And yeah, they work by lowering your blood sugar and then reducing appetite. But, you know, what if you're looking to lose weight, but you're really not interested in those painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects?
That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable.
Yeah, you know, the studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar. And it does that by burning fat and converting it into energy. It also curbs your appetite and cravings, so you're not as hungry.
But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose.
Right, and here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off.
That's right. Visit takelean.com and enter thank you 25, the number 25, for 25% off.
That's promo code thank you 25 at takelean.com.
Back to tonight's dead letter.
I have to talk about this light situation in a somewhat comical way because, you know, I have these stairs in my house and I'm sort of a safety nerd and I'm always worried that somebody's going to go down them, especially me and or my wife. We're getting older and we're going up and down the stairs all the time. And I wanted to put in lights with motion sensors like this.
You do? I didn't know you had those. You mean they're on the stairs or near the stairs?
I wanted to do this, just to be clear. But there's the switches are that kind of parallel series of switches where like the upstairs one is on and then the downstairs one is off. And can the downstairs one be on and the upstairs off? And I was just assumed that an electrician would know what to do in this scenario because I know it's complicated. I was an electrician's helper in college, and so I worked on, and I know when those lights are hooked together, if you don't do them just right, then they don't work together anymore. And sure enough, I had these guys out and they put in these motion sensor lights or whatever, and the switches just would not stop fighting with each other. So the one downstairs would be like, okay, I'm turning it off, and the one upstairs would be confused. I'm sure there's a lot of electricians listening and be like, oh my God, you should have done X, Y, and Z. Anyway, we didn't. I had to go back to normal switches, and we just have to remember not to fall down the stairs. But my point is, I recently went through this thing with these kinds of lights. And the other part of this is with Andrew switching that light out, you know, getting rid of the motion sensor, it gives you a much more significant layer to this story. For the light to malfunction, unlike the story I told, all the stuff that's happening, electrical problems.
Yeah.
This is a little different. This is a hard switch that he's got in there, and that light still came on. And then that's connected to the poignancy of the event surrounding the last time his mom was in the guest house back there where he's living.
Yeah, there's a lot of relevance and context to his experience. And a couple of things I want to say. First of all, your motion sensor, I guess they didn't work as well as they do on the show Severance. And they go down an unused hall. Have you seen that? Where they just, the lights follow you.
Yes, going yes, turn off. Yeah, yeah.
And I could see a corporation putting that in, not just for creepy factor, but, you know, it saves them a fraction of money on their electrical bills and makes sense.
Right, right.
But the other things I want to touch on seriously here is, one, the picture frame falling over. And I'm going to get back to that where we both are in that, you know, there's maybe some mundane reasons, but when you're looking at it and it falls on its face.
Yeah.
While you're looking at it, one. Two, picture frames are not balanced on the edge. And a slight jolt can topple them backwards or forwards. You know, they have a stand on the back to keep them at an angle so they stay upright. And for it to be falling over the other way, it's what I say when the physics don't make sense. It's like us with the iPad on the railing. Our famous, infamous story about us leaving the iPad in when we were at your old house. And it's on the railing and it flipped
on
over.
The front porch.
Yeah, and fell. Yeah. Didn't injure itself, didn't crack it at all, wasn't scratched at all.
And we have it on tape.
It's on security cam. It's not dramatic. Yeah. And like I said, none of these things usually are.
Yeah,
it just fell over the railing where it's like, yes, part of it was sticking over, but not over half. It wasn't in a seesaw position.
Right.
So the physics did not make sense. That should not have happened. There's no wind. And it was like it just flipped over and fell down. Now, I don't know what that means because we don't have any other spiritual context other than I will maintain until the day I become a spirit that your house was haunted. But we'll leave that for another time. But the fact that it did flip over is like, well, that's odd in itself. And you could see it as Andrew could as well. And the thing is, while he was looking at it, and also, you know, we tend to think, you know, you see that in movies, like something doesn't want you to look at the photos. And I believe there are other incidences where there is something negative who doesn't like the photo or who's in it or wants to make a statement. But it doesn't always have to be that way. I think if it was his mom's spirit, which I'll just say up front, I do believe it was, is touching the photos. It's like, well, how is she going to do that? She could have turned it maybe. Maybe it was like a fumble, like I said, a spiritual fumble, where you reach out as a spirit and you're not meaning to make that kind of a statement with it, but you try to touch it and you have some poltergeist activity and it just flips over onto its face.
Right.
To get you to pay attention to it, to come over and flip it back. And while you do, you look at it again, that kind of thing, you know? So I don't know what the intentions are, but I do believe that that kind of thing is possible.
We have another dead letter coming up. It's a ways off. It'll be several weeks from now. It centers around a mirror, this case that's coming up. Now, we've talked about mirrors before, and everybody knows about mirrors and their connection to the paranormal and covering them up in rooms where people have passed away and all that kind of thing. But like when I was connecting a lot of things that were happening here and how this centered around the bathroom that his mom had been in, and I was thinking about the couple of really unusual experiences that I've had, and in particular, a relationship to a friend who had passed that seemed to always affect me in bathrooms. And specifically, it's a story I already told about the steakhouse in Burbank, that same guy. But also I had other times when I felt like he was with me when I was like shaving in the bathroom. And this was an older friend, a neighbor. But it makes me now wonder when I think about this, about mirrors and that bathrooms not only being a central place, you know, if you believe any of this at all, being a central place for water and the function is to get water in and out of the home and ritualistic parts of cleansing and whatever. And whenever I felt like I was in the presence of my deceased friend shortly after he passed in a bathroom, I was usually shaving. And I almost felt like he was standing behind me making fun of me or making jokes or, you know, busting my chops or whatever. Which would have been fit his personality. So lots of stories I'm not going to tell again there, but like, it's interesting this idea, you know, because you and I talk about water and the Sally House in Atchison where Amelia Earhart was born, the Missouri River's right there, and also this porous bedrock and everything. And so it's a thing that we talk about, but it's only just now am I thinking about, I wonder if the reason that I was having these strange experiences in bathrooms, yes, I'm admitting that, with ghosts or whatever, and it's, you know, there's mirrors. And maybe the mirrors make it a little easier, especially if something's hanging around just for a minute after, you know, because there's this other theory, and I can't remember where we read this, but where it's like, oh, yeah, there's a period of time where there's some crossover and it's easier to interact with a recently deceased loved one. And it's like a finite window, a small window, like 10 days or 12 days or something like that. And then after that, it's kind of done.
Yeah, I've heard 3 days, but generally, you know, I believe it depends also on the person's who's departed, their situation and where they're going to go.
Yeah.
You know, because people say like, well, isn't like then the earth, you know, of all the millions of people that have died just flooded with ghosts? It's like, well, yeah, there's actually, if you believe Edgar Cayce and others, spirits are all around us. And that can be proven with some ITC devices. But some, I think, depart fairly easily and move on. Some that are hanging around because they have unfinished business or they just want to hang around for a bit before, quote unquote, going into the light. But yeah, I think right when it happens, that tends to be more of an open window, shall we say, especially a mirror being a mirror or passage to other realms, and lots of lore there about that kind of a mirror and reflection of life and of reality.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I was going to mention is that we record some of these stories earlier. And when I read this story, it was months ago and not long after my own father had passed. Yeah. And I also have a light and a bathroom story that happened with that. Uh-huh. And so as I was reading the story, it had some relevance, some heartwarming ones, but also some melancholy feelings. And it kind of got to me a little bit, not in a bad way, but in the good way, which I believe should be, why not take it that way? So you might have heard some emotion in my voice as I read it, but when my father had passed, it was end of October. We stayed with him all day at the skilled nursing facility. And then finally around 6 or 7, it was time to go. So we went home and, you know, that's not a great trip coming home to kind of an empty house of sorts. And I was coming in and was heading to the bathroom. And their bathroom is in the hallway. And we had not yet turned on a bunch of lights. My point being, end of October, it's already dark at that point.
Sure.
And the house is kind of dark. And a few years earlier, because my dad did have a lot of bathroom troubles and was going a lot in the middle of the night. And so I installed a light switch that had a, wasn't motion sensor, but it had a light sensitive photo sensor night light on it.
Oh, right.
You know, it just appears at the bottom of the light switch. And, but it's just enough that if he was coming into the bathroom in the middle of the night, he could see where the light switch was and turn it on.
Yeah.
So I installed that a few years ago, never had a problem with it. But that night, as I returned home, and I think my mom just kind of was sitting on the couch, and I went into the bathroom. Before I got into the bathroom, and mind you, this is dark, and the nightlight is on now. Before I reached up to turn the light on, it started flickering pretty significantly and wildly. That nightlight portion, which is just a couple of LEDs at the bottom. Again, it's not a big light, but it starts flickering. And that stopped me in my motion to reach over and turn the light switch on. And it was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's never happened before. But it happened one other time months after that, but just very briefly, just a quick flicker. This was pretty significant, went on for like a second or two. And it just made me stop and think like, well, he's come home with us. He's here with us. And he, if he was alive, he'd probably have to use the bathroom at that point. So it was a little bit heartwarming and a little bit melancholy, but I like to think that he was still with us in some form. But I turned the light on and went about my business. And yeah, again, it didn't happen for a long time after that. Maybe a few months after that, again, it was just a quick flicker. Now, here's the thing. There's a photo sensor that's at the bottom of the light switch panel, the faceplate. When the light is on and you put your thumb over, it will turn the nightlight on. You know what I'm saying? Because it thinks it's night or it's dark and it will come on. Right. That's the only way that you can affect it where it'll turn on, but it still doesn't flicker. If you kind of like hover, get it real close where it's not, it'll kind of flicker until it chooses to be on or off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't do that.
I have plug-in versions of these. They're like
exactly.
And they have little blue LEDs.
Right.
And they're in the outlet in the bathroom. And so if the bathroom's dark, the blue LED comes on or whatever.
Exactly. And this one's kind of a blue tint too. And so you can affect it. But I hadn't done anything like that. Also, if you're in the dark, putting your thumb over the sensor doesn't do anything, of course, because it's still dark. Yeah. If I shined a light on it, maybe you could do that, but that wasn't happening. So anyway, there was a few other things.
I was going to say, I mean, my first thought was to blame the electrician. That was you, right? You put the switch.
I put it in. Here's the thing. The question I had was when Andrew's light in the bathroom was on, was the switch, you see, that's the difference where the switch was flicked up. The actual switch itself or flick down off.
Right.
Was it on with the switch being in the bottom position off, or was it something, some force had flicked it on and up? I'm going to guess since he did not mention that, that it actually was on. You know what I'm saying? Like the light's on, but the switch should be off.
Right.
That's a little different. Here, even so, you know you did not turn that light on and somehow something has flicked the switch up. So exerting a little poltergeist force there. And I got to say, all the other small weird things happened were while my dad was still alive.
Yeah, sure.
I wonder what was that about? Was that, I do believe there are some residual spirits here and with some activity. And are they just more active because of his state?
Yeah.
Are they sending messages to us or what's the point? Is it relatives visiting? That happens a lot, I do believe as well. And again, just kind of floating around the room and affecting stuff either on purpose or accidentally. But getting back to Andrew's case here, because of the context, now he says like, okay, maybe that's a coincidence. Sure. But as like we just talked about the scientists going missing, what is too much of a coincidence happening? And is there context? So in this case, if it happened, you know, all years before or the year before his mom passed, that might be seen as like, oh, it is faulty wiring or I didn't do something right. And here, there's too much context and relevance going on to make it seem more coincidental than anything right. else. You have one, the picture falling over, and yeah. two, the light switch coming on just after his mom passed. It's like, okay, that right. to me is, you know, that's a message. And I'll pass the mic to you figuratively. But I will say, when you wonder about that, like, well, I don't know what it is, that goes against my belief in rationality and common sense and mundaneness, or I don't know what it is, but I would say, if it's a message to you, you feel like it possibly could be from your mom that she's still here and still kind of gently ribbing you, why yeah. not let it be that?
Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think with this series of events, the other thing that's interesting to me about this is a relatively simple, clean little story.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of times how something like this happens. It's not the UFO coming down over Devil's Tower or, you know, the ghost that slaps you in the face. Mm-hmm. It's more little things like this. But the thing that is really wild about this particular story is this is not one event. It's two that happened at nearly yeah. the same time.
That's
my point.
Picture
falling over, yeah. then the light turning on. That's like a lot. And then the picture falling over. Okay, yeah. What? It's Monterey Park. It's California. Maybe there was an earthquake or a microquake. You
yeah,
didn't
but
know,
did you
whatever.
Feel one, dude? You've lived through quite a bit, as I have.
Yes.
Quakes, and
yes.
You yeah. do. They don't happen without you noticing them.
No, they don't. And if a picture falls over, a lot of other things are happening too.
That's
so,
right.
It's not just one picture. It's like lights are swinging all kind. The curtains are swinging all kind. And then also you feel like you're on a boat. There's all that stuff happening.
Yeah.
The light switch is a light switch. You know, it's not a motion sensitive light anymore. If it was, it's like there's all. It's like your story. You had one that was light photosensitive, but still that's in the dark. The next thing is like with this one, this is a physical switch.
Yeah.
And then having that happen at the same time with the picture. And by the way, folks, I know I alluded to the strangest bathroom story I had regarding my friend who has passed. His name is Don Skiss. You can hear that in episode 101 of Astonishing Legends. Yeah. It was Arkapalooza Part 2. That's back in 2022, I think. So look up Arkapalooza. ARC is our research group that we had. So the Astonishing Research Corps. But anyway, everybody told stories on that one. And that's where the longer version of my story is about weirdness in a bathroom. Anyway, I like where Andrew's head's at in terms of being skeptical of this and not believing in ghosts, but now having experienced this thing and being open to it in that moment, because I think another part of this is, I don't know anything about his mom or their relationship, and I'm not presupposing to know that. But another part of this message might have been to say, hey, I know you don't believe in this, but here I am. In addition to, I'm right. with you always and still here and I'll look out for you. Also, guess what? That part where you're alive and then you're dead and nothing else happens, it's different from that.
Yeah.
Right. That's part of that message.
You know, I've listened to and read and watched a lot of countering viewpoints where people, you know, usually more so of an atheistic viewpoint said, even Stephen Hawking, as he was approaching his end, saying like, no, I don't believe in any of that. You go in the ground, you're a moldering, and that's it, lights out. And it's like, okay, yeah. that, I mean, that's the most common sense, quote unquote, thing to right. Believe in. And I don't find it the most reassuring or comforting viewpoint.
The older I get, it starts to sound a little more comforting.
oh, you don't want to be around.
Yeah, just I'm like, you know what? I'm done. Don't got to worry about anything anymore. It's all good. I had a good time.
Let
Peace
me.
Out.
Oh, that's interesting.
no, but I'm not saying I believe that there's a lot more happening than that
right.
because of our show and because of my belief system. But the conversely, when I was younger, or maybe even before we started the show, I think I was terrified of that idea of just the end, it being just an end. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm fine with either one.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would you rather, okay, because you are a husband and a father, and of course yes. you have other family you love, would yeah. you rather that it was lights out, that's it, curtains for everyone at the end when you pass, or would you all like to see them again in some other realm?
Oh, I would love to see them again. I don't want it that way. Like when I say I'm more comfortable with it, I just meant for myself. But it's
you're talking about
just
you and your
I'm
responsibilities.
I'm tired of having responsibilities.
I died, and guess
yeah.
what? I still have to balance the checkbook, and I still
yeah,
got all
exactly.
these.
It's definitely not about
Rose
family. If it's family, I want to hang out with the family.
That's my point. You know, if you think you did everything and that's it, I don't need to do anything else. I learned everything there is to learn, and I don't really
no,
care to see anyone
else. No, and I'm not saying
else.
That either.
I
by
know.
The way.
No, I know.
I'm not saying it's not about unfinished business other than, as you just said, maybe not having to reconcile a checking account anymore.
That's the least thing I believe the least is that you're going to have all these worldly, like, oh my God, this is still,
why am I still achy?
I'm in heaven and hell. I wake up and then it's like, I'm still, why is this ache? And why is this my knee cracking? And it's like, no, yeah. I think I got to believe that that is the least of your worries, along with whatever happens in the bathroom. I just don't think you care. It's just not a thing, and all these worries and concerns. But I can see people who are more grounded into their earthly experiences. That's really what they focus on. That's all they know. It's like, and so, no, this is it. This is just what I'm experiencing now, not the Bob Monroe, I believe he coined the term. A lot of people have, but he may have made it famous that you are a spiritual being having an earthly experience, not an earthly being having a spiritual experience. You are, that is your home. The other side, not here. This is just a classroom and a learning experience, and enjoy it while you can. And it's going to be painful and it's going to be joyous. But yeah, it's hard to imagine philosophically. Like, what do you mean I can't or I don't experience time? Because that's all, that's how we live our lives. And that, like I said, it's like the imagining the, I think, remember we were talking about this before, but it would be a bit of a hell if you had a consciousness that still experience time, as in the Black Mirror episode White Christmas with John Hamm, I believe. And so the punishment was that you can fraction off a portion of your brain or your consciousness into another part. And so you basically enslave yourself, your consciousness, to do your own bidding and in your own daily busy work. Like I said, balancing your finances and doing your schedule, and that because you obviously still know all that you have to do, but you're getting yourself to do the slave labor for yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the story here, I think like what you just said, it's the two things in context that are relevant to this experience that just happened. And it's a lovely kind of a thing. And also the cat, the fact that the cat is seeing something as well as cats do, staring at a spot in the wall. And you could say like, oh, well, it's just hearing mice in the wall. It's like, there's mice a lot of houses, but is that really what they're doing? Or they think they see a bug. I think often they see something that we can't. Now, here's the thing. Would you want somebody to watch over you like Don's Kiss and every time you're in the bathroom? I don't think he's interested in that. But it's also, I'd like a little privacy.
Now, the thing is, like, with regard to that particular person, I can tell that that's over. And I don't know why.
I believe that, too.
Super solid. And I can tell it was him when he was there. And then when it was never going to happen again, I felt that, too.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
I've heard that from mediums as well, is that there are periods, and I was actually told this myself, is that you might see some activity soon after, but you might also start to feel it fade after a couple of weeks. And but here's the other thing I've heard as well, because I know people are devastated when somebody passes, in that they feel they'll never get to talk to them again. If you really want to reach out and communicate and connect with a loved one, you can, you know, find some quiet time. It's a bit meditative, but either mentally or out loud, you call out to them and just say, hey, I really miss you. I wish I could talk to you right now. Do you have anything to say? Or show me a sign. And often you'll get a little sign.
Well, one thing I definitely want to touch on here is what's called ADC, or after-death communication. And this is a pretty interesting tie-in, because there's these researchers, Bill and Judy Guggenheim, who have cataloged thousands of cases of this in their 1995 book, Hello from Heaven. And this is really important, because if you're if you follow the Astonishing Legends Network, or our dear friend Richard Haddam, who's been on the main show many, many times and is a good friend of ours, and I think is actually coming back on this summer for us.
Yeah,
to tell you, we're working at that. But one of the recent episodes of his show, he has his own show called Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf, which is about how his book collection, he has a really intense collection of first editions and signed first editions of paranormal books, and they shaped his career as a successful television and movie writer. But one of the books that he just covered on his show just a few episodes ago, as we're recording this, was about the book, centered around the book Hello from Heaven, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But in Hello from Heaven, the reported ADC cases include electrical phenomena, lights flickering, or, ready for this, Forrest, activating alarms and clocks, which is a mutual experience you and I had when both our parents died within 7 days of each other, specifically alarm clocks.
Yep.
Objects falling or moving, sense presence, dreams, and animal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Guggenheim's book, 75%, roughly 75% of bereaved people have reported some form of a sensed presence within the first year of loss.
That figure, that percentage, yeah, is way higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, yeah, to me.
That's 3 out of 4 people. That's, yeah, it's not like a fringe experience then. This is something that people, now I'm the skeptical part of me, which I, yeah, alluded to, we both did in the cold open. There's, right, there's things we're still skeptical about. It's kind of like when somebody's like, oh, you know, is every Bigfoot case a Bigfoot, or is definitely every now and then it's a bear with mange or a coyote, yeah, yeah, that you didn't get the right glimpse of or whatever. And I bet with some of these cases, it's just like, well, I want to believe that's my deceased so-and-so, right, and maybe it isn't. But again, that comes back to that whole idea, which you always talk about, and I believe very much in. It's like, it's really about what it means to you.
Yeah.
And the meaning that you take from it, in some ways, I think retroactively shapes what the experience was.
Yes. And how does this fit into your worldview of the possible and the impossible, in that the way I look at it, of course, other people, like I said, if you start off like, this is all impossible, there are no such thing as ghosts, I can tell you that for a fact. I don't know how, but they're adamant about it and they're so sure, and that's fine. But then this makes this impossible. This was coincidence. This was wiring, whatever it is. Right. So this had to be something else. The way I look at it is, okay, this may be bad wiring. That's possible. But it's also possible that this could be ADC, after-death communication. And so when I look at something, I, with my having more things on the table, you could say, is that, okay, this small weird thing just happened. First, is it something I need to fix? Do I need to get out the tester and replace the switch, which I've done? Or is this some part or form of message, and do I need to pay attention to this? So I want to know the root cause, like what is actually happening here, and do I need to pay more attention to it? I pay attention, or I try to, with everything, but is this some broader message that whomever or whatever is trying to get me to look and pay attention? And so that's where I'm not skeptical, but like I'm analytical. That's probably a better term for that, where it's like, okay, this just happened. What does this mean? And so, like I said, when small weird things were happening, and again, probably the last weird thing that happened before my dad passed, as you mentioned, was that morning. And I've said this a couple of times before now. That morning, about 6 a.m., my folks' weather station alarm clock, that's weather right, center thing,
yep,
which I think they got at Costco, you know, it's been hanging on the wall for 10 years. That alarm went off, waking me up and my mom, and it's never done that before. No one there, myself or them, well, actually none of us knew how to set the alarm. So that did not happen. You know, my mom certainly is not tall enough to reach the alarm, and my dad, you know, he didn't set it, and it just went off right at 6. And so it was that weird, like progressive alarm where it starts beeping like deep, deep,
yep,
deep, 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 deep,
deep, deep, deep, deep, deep.
And go until it progresses to a full on steady beeping.
Yeah.
So that wakes me up. And it's like, first of all, you're like, that's weird. And what's funny is that my mom gets up and comes into the kitchen where it's at. And she doesn't usually pay too much mind of these kinds of things. She goes, well, who set the alarm? Like, why is that going off? And so it made an impression on her. But it's like, I don't know. This is odd, but it's little things like that. Like it's not, the clock didn't fly through the air and hit me in the face, you know, like I said, fall off the wall even.
Right.
It's just like, that's so weird that thing turned on. You know, that was about 6 a.m. And then about 6 hours later is when he passed. Was that some form of a crisis, not apparition, but happening? Not right, from him, but I do wonder, because I talked to the nurses, you know, and they said that he'd been kind of going in and out of, you know, he was awake that morning and had breakfast, but he was kind of napping as he does. And then we didn't get in there until like 12:20, 12:30. We missed it by 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so what's odd is that the medium I just happened to talk to about this, she said, I get the impression, or he's telling me, that he was coming in and out of having kind of like OBEs leading up for some time, leading up to that
which
moment.
Which are out-of-body experiences.
Out-of-body experiences and kind of enjoying himself and the experience. But what I do wonder is that was that some kind of foreshadowing by him or someone or something else that today was the day? Because that turned out to be that. And then later we got home, another 6 hours later, you know, it was like 7 o'clock or so. And that's when the light in the bathroom, the switch started flickering. So two odd things that happened that day. But quickly, if you want, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but if you want to tell the beeping story.
Well, I can't remember how it relays timeline-wise to yours.
A couple of days after.
A few days later, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of days later.
An alarm clock sound woke me up. And the thing was, it was, this was the I dropped my drink, the slow motion dropping your drink trope in a movie. Because I was telling Forrest about this. I had an alarm clock go off. It sounded like it was upstairs in my son's room, who was gone to school already. And it did that exact same kind of beeping. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what his clock sounded like. He's got an old clock radio that my family, my wife and I have had for like 20 years probably. And only recently gave him because he was being late a lot to school.
Yeah.
And so he had it in his room. He plugs it in intentionally kind of far away from the bed so that it's like the last ditch alarm. He has to get out of bed to deal with it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that must be he overslept or whatever. And because now he's driving himself to school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I got up and I went upstairs because I thought it was coming from his room, but it was not, and it wasn't a sound I recognized, but I've never used the alarm on that clock radio in the all the time we owned it. It was always in a guest bedroom or something. And when I went in his room, his alarm clock was on the floor where it usually is, away from his bed and unplugged. Mm. And I thought, well, God, that's weird. And here's the newsflash. That's what he does. He doesn't really like that clock. And is not a fan of all its buttons.
Right.
You know, he's used to, this is a guy that grew up with iPhones and stuff.
Yeah,
so when
that
thing goes off, he gets up and yanks the cord out of the wall. He's like, this is the easiest way to stop this.
This is the bigger mystery to me.
No, he comes home at night, he plugs it in, sets the time, and sets the alarm again.
Yeah,
and
okay, so what you just said there, sir, this is a bigger mystery than any kind of ADC or after death, after we die thing, is that, okay, I get the I'm fed up, I'm still groggy, I'm a teenager.
Yes, very groggy. We both
raging hormones.
Groggy.
Like, shut up. Rather than throwing, I've seen you throw things when you get upset, sir. But I'm the one who patched the.
We've been together a long time. Well, I don't throw things anymore.
No, I don't. But I'm the one who patched the drywall when the printer didn't work and you threw the tray against the wall.
Oh, aside from all that, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know you would because
Nothing makes you madder than a printer. Watch Office Space. I mean, they just have a way of getting under your skin.
I understand the wanting to destroy or silence something.
Inanimate objects.
Yes, and with extreme prejudice. But also, the thing I don't understand is like, well, you know, Rowan, it might be easier to just flick the button so it turns off so you don't have to set the clock each time every night again.
I know. He doesn't care about it. So here's the, getting back to the story. And by the way, there was one other time that he was late to school because in the resetting process, he inverted the AM/PM thing.
This is my point exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're taking a risk. Anyway, but this was months and months ago, obviously, when our parents passed in October of 2025. But that sound couldn't have come from that clock. And he was already gone to school that morning.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, well, maybe the cat unplugged it somehow, which is the dumbest. That's one of those fringe leaps. It's like, the cat unplugged the alarm clock.
After leaping from the ionosphere. Yes.
Yeah, that's weirder than me hearing an alarm sound that came from nowhere. But the overall point is that when I was telling you this story, I hadn't heard your story.
That's right.
We were on the phone. I was like sitting out in the garage in a chair in my driveway watching the sunset because I love magic hour. I'll watch sunset every day. And like, I remember I was sitting out there and talking to you and we were both dealing with grief and everything. I'm sure I was probably having a beverage or something too. And I was telling you about this thing and then you were like, well, what is the sound it made? And then we realized that the sounds were identical. And then I went up there and that clock was unplugged. There is nothing else in my house that has ever made that sound before or since. Yeah. There is no dying battery, no smoke detectors dying, nothing. I still have no explanation for what that noise was. And I did talk to my son. I texted him that day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when did you leave? He had already left and he was like, yeah, I unplugged the clock. So the clock, it couldn't have been it. And there's nothing else in his room that would make that noise. So to this day, and this was, that was what now, this is May, seven or eight months ago, never have heard that sound again. And then when I was, when you were and I were connecting on the phone about this, it was the exact same sound that you described at your house, which I thought was very, very interesting. Now, mind you, folks, I've known Forrest, obviously, 20 years, maybe longer now. I've never met his dad.
Right.
I don't know him. We have no, we had no kind of relationship, but it did feel, and when you read about this ADC stuff and Hello from Heaven and all of that, that's a very interesting connection. And I still don't know. And of course, my mom had passed too. Maybe it was connected to her and I'm misreading it or... I just don't know. I'll never know what made that noise. And it was loud enough that I was surprised it didn't wake my wife up. Like,
yeah,
definitely felt like it was in another room. That's the other thing that's interesting. Like, it felt like it was coming through the wall or through this. My son's room is directly above mine. So, like, I thought maybe it was coming down through there. I don't know. It had that, which it's like maybe it was another room in air quotes. Like, your house or far away in a different time kind of thing.
Yeah. Spooky action at a distance. Anyway. Experimental physics. Theoretical physics are saying that these things are increasingly possible, at least with the math. And here's the other thing is that I don't know what the connection is other than, like I said, why you could read into this. Why it's coincidence your mom passed away exactly 7 days and also roughly within about an hour or so of time difference.
Yeah.
7 days later. I don't know
what that. On opposite ends of the country.
Yeah, I don't know what that means other than maybe strengthening our bond. I don't know. But the two things to consider with your case in hearing the beeping is that, yes, it sounded like it was close by, right? But coming upstairs. So you went to go check upstairs. And as soon as you get towards or almost entering the room, it stops.
I never could figure out where it was coming from. I just assumed it.
Right.
I assumed it was my son's alarm clock that I wasn't familiar with.
But
that was not plugged into the wall. So I think I told you this later. And you were like, well, what does that alarm sound like? I was like, I don't know. And you were after me for a couple of days. You were like, did you plug it in? What's it sound like? Finally, I did. I did plug that clock in and I set the alarm and it didn't sound at all like the sound I heard that morning. So I don't even think that clock was related to what happened at all.
No, it's just there's nothing in your house that makes that noise. So, and you would know. Now, here's the other thing, talking about me wanting to get to the truth, wherever it leads.
I could have dreamed the sound too, by the way. Maybe it was in my head, you know, I was hearing it in my
head.
That
could be. Well, something I'm going to tell you now that's related. Now, I discuss, and much more emotionally, this story and other things that are happening on Paul Gledhill's, Gledder's, roundtable that he did for the Christmas show, his Christmas show, which can be found at anomaly.co.uk.
Yeah.
Great show. But we had a lot of lovely friends and guests on that show. And I discussed that more. Now, at that time, another thing that happened within that week or maybe the next week after this is that both my mom and I were hearing the set of tones. Small electrical beeping, like, and I described it as like do 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 do.
Yes, I remember you talking
and
about
so,
that.
And so, but it was super faint, but we both heard it, and she noticed it. Goes, do you hear that? Like, yeah, I could hear it.
Kind of like when an AirPods battery is dying.
Exactly.
Sort of sound.
And so I didn't know where it was because I couldn't triangulate where it was coming from because my mom, it's like, was it coming from your room? Is there something dying where the batteries are dying? Like, because that's the logical thing. And, we went to her room. It's like, I could hear it once, but she was hearing it a lot more. And then she went downstairs and came back. She goes, I heard it downstairs too. So wherever she was, and then sometimes I couldn't hear it. And she goes, did you hear it? It just happened. Did you hear it? And I'm like, no, I didn't hear it that time. And then sometimes I would. So again, the possibility is that, there's something with batteries in it that's dying, but I couldn't find anything like that. Could not triangulate where it was coming from. Nothing in a drawer, this and that. The other thing is that my dad was a photographer and videographer and cinematographer, and he loved electronic gadgets and all this stuff. He's like, is he sitting around here playing with something like his cameras?
Messing with everything he can get his hands on?
Yeah, because now he's free to. Like he can move around easily, which he could not do before.
By the way, too, maybe he was at a point where he was unencumbered by the mortal coil and he could rediscover the things that brought him joy in your house or things that he had always intended to set up or play with and hadn't had a chance
to. Yeah, exactly. Flash forward a couple months later, and My mom had taken out her hearing aids and I was putting them back in the case and I could hear the doot, 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 doot.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the dying batteries on her hearing aids. And that's why she could hear it in different parts of the house and I could not. That's okay. Also why it was very faint.
There we go.
And there you go. That is mystery solved.
On
we
that
rarely
one.
Get to say that with, yeah, but that's yes. My point is that, okay, I'm willing to admit. And that's what I want to know because what is making that sound? And so I'd heard it before. After that, it's like, it's coming again. And she goes, did you hear it? And I'm like, no. I really want to know what's making the sound, but I'm open to that
she's
possibility.
She's like, it's following me everywhere.
Well, that's what she thought. It's just like, yeah, why am I hearing it downstairs? And, you know, hearing's not that so good. She could not triangulate that where it was coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's, she just heard that sound.
Yeah.
And she wasn't aware that like, oh, you know, mom, that's when the batteries are getting low. It's warning you to like put some fresh batteries in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like everything else. So again, that's what I'm saying. I want to know the mundane explanation. Or I'm open to whatever, but I want to know what's happening. And so, that's what I didn't explain on the Christmas roundtable because it wasn't until a few months later where I realized that that's it.
There we go.
And that's just so satisfying. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like, that's like, okay, that's
okay,
what
now
I want to know.
Stop worrying about that one. Well, a lot of stories find their way to the dead letter office. They come from haunted apartments and old battlefields and woods that nobody likes to drive past at night. But every once in a while, one comes in that really isn't about a place at all. It's about a person. Two people, really. The one who's gone and the one who's still here trying to make sense of it. We don't pretend to know what happens at the moment somebody we love leaves this world. Maybe it's neurons firing in a grieving brain. Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's something none of us have language for yet. But after years of doing this, we've noticed these moments rarely feel cruel. They feel like a hand on the shoulder. And whatever you believe about what's actually happening, it seems worth saying out loud that the people we lose aren't quite as lost as the world tells us they are. To Andrew, thank you for trusting us with this one, and thank you for sending your letter into the Astonishing Dead Letter Office.
The Astonishing Dead Letter Office is hosted by Scott Philbrick and Faris Burgess and is executive produced by Tess Feifel. The show is edited and mixed by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell at VW Sound. The theme is based on the Astonishing Legends theme by Judson Crane at Founder Music, arranged by Alan Caricia, who composes all the other music in the show. Tommy Beaver Design created the logo. The announcer is John Bolton. That's me. Stories are lightly edited for length, content, and readability, but otherwise presented as they're sent to us. We're always looking for more dead letters, so if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email it to deadletteroffice@astonishinglegends.com. Please include how you would like to be credited. First name only, first name last initial, anonymous, a pseudonym. Let us know. Due to the number of emails coming in, we often cannot respond, but we do read them all. No part of this show may be reproduced anywhere without permission. Copyright Astonishing Legends Productions.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.